Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace, go in the Holy Spirit's power, sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. We would love to invite you to worship with us on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. Pacific Time. You could join us in person at 9284 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91701, but I know many of you listening are listening from different areas, so join us on our live stream. Go to our website on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. The website is www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the live stream. You can chat. You can offer up prayers. You can write questions. You can fellowship. And our prayer is that you'll grow in grace. If you miss all those opportunities, you can always go to our YouTube channel, which is The Seed Christian Fellowship. Watch any of our weekly services or just our weekly messages. And we have some wonderful children's messages, too, you can watch. We're going to be in, we've been talking about hope for the last several weeks, and today we're going to talk about a living hope, living letters of hope. And we're going to turn to Jeremiah chapter 29 and then also 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Before we go to God's word, let us go to the Lord in a moment of prayer. Let's pray. Lord God, open the eyes of our hearts. Open the eyes of our mind. Open our eyes to see you, to see you more clearly, to see the plans that you have for us and how your plans are for good and not for harm. Help us to walk closely with you in this season, knowing that our hope is in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jeremiah 29, I'll pick up on verse 4, and we'll read through 14. Listen, if you don't have a Bible, we can mail you a Bible. We've got a couple in the church that bought cases of Bibles, and we would love to get you a Bible. You can email me at Pastor Dave at the Seed Christian Fellowship. We'll get you a one-year Bible, and you can work your way through that. Jeremiah chapter 29, 4 through 14. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and live in them, plant gardens and eat what they produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease. But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile. And pray to the Lord on its behalf. For in its welfare, you will find your welfare. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let the prophets and the diviners who are among you deceive you, and do not listen to the dreams that they dream. For it is a lie that they are prophesying to you in my name. I did not send them, says the Lord. For thus says the Lord, only when Babylon's 70 years are completed will I visit you, and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give you a future with hope. Then when you call upon me and come and pray to me, I will hear you. When you search for me, you will find me if you seek me with all of your heart. I will let you find me, says the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations in all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile. Wow, now that's some wonderful reading from the prophet Jeremiah 29, verses 4 through 14. Now we turn our attention to the New Testament in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, 14, and we'll pick up on verse 14 and we'll read through chapter 3, 3. Paul writes these words, but thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in a triumphal procession and through us spreads in every place the fragrance that comes from knowing him. For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one, a fragrance from death to death. To the other, a fragrance from life to life. Who is sufficient for these things? For we are not peddlers of God's word like so many, but in Christ we speak as persons of sincerity, as persons sent from God and standing in His presence. Are we beginning to commend ourselves again? Surely we do not need to. As some do, have letters of recommendation for you or from you, do we? You yourselves are our letter written on our hearts to be known and read by all, and you show that you are a letter of Christ, prepared by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on the tablets of human hearts. Well, I'd like to take just a few moments today and set the context of our scripture readings. Both of our readings are letters sent to the people of God to encourage them and to warn them to live for God. The reading from the Old Testament book of Jeremiah was written sometime around 586 or 585 BC before Christ. Jerusalem had just fallen to King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. For 2 years, the city of Jerusalem had been surrounded, and it finally fell. King Nebuchadnezzar literally destroyed the city, knocking down all the walls, burning most of the buildings, and completely wiping out the temple, taking all the treasures and killing most of the people. King took around 4,600 people into Babylon for captivity. Most of the captives, well, they were the best and the brightest of Jerusalem. In Jewish history, this is what they call the time of the exile. Their homeland, along with their temple, has been destroyed, and they are forced to live in a foreign land under the harsh rule of a tyrannical taskmaster. Times are desperate. The writer of our Old Testament lesson is God's prophet, Jeremiah. Jeremiah was not taken into captivity. He was living among the ruins of Jerusalem and encouraged the people that remained there. Jeremiah sat down with pen and parchment paper and wrote a letter to the captives, the exiles in Babylon. This letter has been considered one of the most important documents in the Old Testament. Listen, undaunted by the 800 miles of desert that separated Jeremiah from his mission field in Babylon, Jeremiah wrote the letter. It was delivered by Elisha and Jeremiah. Listen, it says this. These are the words of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to the remaining elders among the exiles and to the priests, the prophets, and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had taken into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. This was after King Jeconiah and the queen mother, the court officials, and the leaders of Judah and Jerusalem, the artisans and the smiths, had departed from Jerusalem. The letter was sent by the hand of Elisha, son of Shaphan, and Jeremiah, son of Hilkiah, whom King Zedekiah of Judah sent to Babylon to King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. Principle number one, let's talk about, so what? What do these passages mean to us? Before we get into the text of the letter, I'd like for us to reflect on the first principle. How easy it is for us to read these names and not recognize the importance of them. We are told that Elisha was the son of Shaphan, but does that have any real meaning for us today? Are they just names written in some book a long time ago? Shaphan was a faithful priest who was not taken into captivity. Shaphan remains in Jerusalem and tries to clean up and restore the temple. Shaphan could have given up. Shaphan could have quit. Instead, he begins by cleaning the temple. What a joy. He finds the scroll of the law among the ashes in the temple. Our first important principle is that we must never forget the power that one God-fearing family can have in history. Shaphan remains after Jerusalem is destroyed, after all the destruction is in the city. It is miraculous for Shaphan to find the scroll of the law. Shaphan's son Elisha is chosen to carry Jeremiah's letter of hope to the exiles 800 miles away. What a powerful principle. Never forget the power that one family can have impacting all of history, all because the family's faithfulness and hope in God. As I thought about Elisha and his father Shaphan, I reflect on your names. I know some of you write me almost every week. I think of your names. I thought of the mission and the call of the Seed Christian Fellowship. Mission statement for the Seed is to know God's love, grow in the grace of Christ, grow in the power of the Holy Spirit, sowing seeds of faith. I thought of these powerful words that people have written as to why they love their church. In less than the time we've been growing and knowing, we want to share our time and our talents. Principle number two, settle, seek, and pray. How many of you, not many probably, but we do have some people out here in Rancho Cucamonga that are listening, and I would say, how many natives of Rancho Cucamonga do you know? I did some research. According to Rancho Cucamonga history, in 1950, there were only 1,255 residents living in Rancho Cucamonga. In 1970, there were 5,796 residents. In 1980, there were 55,280. In 1990, there were 101,409 residents. In 2000, there were 127,743 residents. In 2010, there were around 165,269. In 2012, there was an estimate of about 170,746. I looked the other day, and right now they're estimating the population of this city to be around 175,000 people. In Jeremiah's letter of hope, he calls the exiles to settle down, build houses, plant gardens, give their sons and daughters in marriage, and increase in number. He also exhorts them to seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which they've been carried into exile, and pray. Settle, seek, and pray. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by The Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. We would love to have you have our prayer team pray for you. You can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship. Click on the prayer icon, and our prayer team will pray for you. We're hearing and seeing some wonderful blessings and miracles of prayer. I want you to know that you're not alone. God knows you. God knows what you need. And if you need prayer, go to our website and click on the prayer icon. Principle number one was, you never know what one power of one family, the impact of all history one family can have. Principle number two, what Jeremiah teaches us is settle, seek, and pray. Principle number three is God knows us. He will not forget us. I don't know where you're at. I don't get to see all of your faces, but I want to tell you that God knows you. God knows where you're at. God knows where you've been. God knows where you're at right now. God knows where he wants to bring you. In verse 11, many people love verse 11 of Jeremiah 29, and it says, "For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for your welfare are good. Plans not to harm you. Plans to give you a future with hope." The Hebrew word for know is yada, Y-A-D-A. And it's, well, it's a very intimate word, meaning completely known. God yadas you and me. He completely knows us. He knows us inside and out. He knows our hopes. He knows our fears. He knows our dreams. He knows the things that wake us up in the middle of the night. The fascinating note in verse 11 is that the word for plans is plural. God knows, he yadas, completely knows, not just a plan or one plan, but God knows us so intimately that God knows many plans for us, for our good, for our welfare. The Hebrew word for welfare, well, it is shalom, which usually translates with the word peace. Shalom is the Hebrew language, and the Hebrew language means peace or completeness, health, welfare, or good. So God knows the plans for your peace. God knows the plans for your welfare. God knows the plans for your health. God knows the plans for your good. He knows and he knows and he knows. He's not forgotten you. I want you to hear that. God has not forgotten you. Plans, the many plans that God knows and has for us, well, they're for peace and their welfare and completeness and good. Do you believe that? Not only are these plans for good, They are to give us a future with hope. Wow. Maybe we should just look back and celebrate what God has done for us in our lives. I don't know how old you are, but look back and count many of the blessings that you've had. Maybe take a piece of paper and write down some of the blessings that you've had in your life. Wow, I think there are people listening today that feel as though God has forgotten you, that you're stuck in exile, kind of like the people of Jerusalem living in a foreign land. Maybe where you're living feels like exile. Maybe you're going through some difficult times. For some, it could be your physical health. For others, your difficult times could include your financial security. For some of us, we may be going through a broken relationship. Maybe the relationship was with your children or your parents or your spouse or coworkers or friends or family. Maybe you're listening today and you're wondering why God would call you to an area with so many days when the temperature runs 100 degrees or recently we had rains. The promise of verse 11 is that God will give us a future with hope. This is a living letter from Jeremiah to the living exiles of Babylon, and it's a living letter for us. God was telling the people in exile, I know you. I have not forgotten you in this God-forsaken place. I remember you, and I have plans, plural, plans for you. The fourth principle is call, come, and pray. Jeremiah's promise is threefold. Call out to God, come to God, and pray to God. This is exactly what worship is all about. Call out to God, come to God, and pray to God. That's why church is so important. That's why it's so important for you to go and worship. That's why it's so important for you to go and join a small group. We have a men's Bible study on Monday night. It's called Band of Brothers. We do it in person and on Zoom. We would love to invite you to those. We have a mixed Bible study. We do the Book of Proverbs right now on Wednesday nights, and we do that in person and on Zoom. We have a women's group. It's called Bossy, the Band of Spiritual Sisters in Yahweh, on Thursday night. Our prayer is that you will come to know the love of God, grow in the grace of Jesus Christ, and go in the power of the Holy Spirit, sowing seeds of faith. That's why we call out to God, come to God, and pray to God. We are reminded by Jeremiah to call to God, come to God, and pray to God. I believe that we can do that when we come together in corporate worship, but we also do it individually. You can do it in your home. You can do it in your morning devotions or your evening devotions. The promise that Jeremiah gives us today is that if we seek God with all of our hearts, we will find God. In essence, God is saying, I'm not going to play hide and seek. There's no hide and seek games with God. The game plan is simple. Seek and find. Seek God with all of your hearts, and you will find God. What a wonderful promise from a living letter. Well, let us remember to call to God, come to God, pray to God, not just on Sunday mornings or Sunday evenings or whenever you go to church, but call to God and come to God and pray to God every day of your life. So what? Let's kind of wrap this up and bring it home. So what are the plans that God has for you? My illustration for the so what comes from Paul's letter to the church in Corinth. Paul planted this church early in his ministry. Paul is now in Ephesus planting a church there. Paul writes both of his letters to the Corinthians from Ephesus and Macedonia. The Corinthian church is experiencing some hard times. Corinth was a very wicked city and false teachers had infiltrated the church. Paul calls the Corinthians to be the aroma of Christ. But more importantly, he tells them, you yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everybody. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. A few years ago, a group of salesmen went to a regional sales convention in Chicago. They had assured their wives that they would be home in plenty of time for Friday night's dinner. In their rush to catch the plane home and with tickets and briefcases, one of these salesmen inadvertently kicked over a table, which held a display of apples. Apples flew everywhere. Without stopping or looking back, they all managed to reach the plane in time for their nearly missed boarding time. All but one. He paused, he took a deep breath, got in touch with his feelings, and experienced a twinge of compassion for the young girl whose apple stand had been overturned. He told his buddies to go on without him, waved goodbye, told one of them to call his wife when they arrived at their home destination, and explained he's taken a later flight. Then he returned to the terminal where the apples were all over the terminal floor. He was glad he did. The 16-year-old girl was blind. She was softly crying, tears running down her cheeks in frustration and at the same time helplessly groping for her spilled produce as the crowd swirled around her, no one stopping, no one to care for her plight. The salesman knelt on the floor with her, gathered up the apples, put them back in the table, and helped organize her display. As he did this, he noticed that many of them had become battered and bruised. Those he set aside in another basket. When he had finished, he pulled out his wallet and said to the girl, "Here, please take this $50 bill for the damage we did. Are you okay?" She nodded through her tears. He continued on with, "I hope we didn't spoil your day too badly." As the salesman started to walk away, the bewildered blind girl called out to him, "Mister, mister." He paused. He turned back to look at the eyes of this little blind girl, and she said, "Are you Jesus?" He stopped in mid-stride, and he wondered. He gently went back and said, "No, I am nothing like Jesus. He is good, kind, caring, loving, and would never have bumped into your display in the first place." The girl gently nodded. "I only asked because I prayed for Jesus to help me gather the apples. He sent me you. Thank you for hearing Jesus, mister." Then slowly he made his way to catch a later flight with a question burning and bouncing about in his soul. Are you Jesus? Do people ever mistake you for Jesus? That's our destiny, is it not? To be so much like Jesus that people cannot tell the difference as we live and interact with our world that is blind to his love and life and grace? If we claim to know him, we should live, walk, and act as he would. Knowing him is more than simply quoting scripture and going to church. It's actually living the word as life unfolds day to day. Scripture says you are the apple of his eye, even though you have been bruised by a fall or two. Have you ever thought of yourself as a living letter? Do you ever see others reading you? What is the aroma you carry, the fragrance of Christ, or the fragrance of the world? Paul's challenge to the Corinthians and his challenge to us is that we are called to be living letters written not with ink or pen, but a living letter written with the Spirit of God. Our so what today is to understand that whether we like it or not, we are a living letter to our homes, to our families, to our friends, to our neighborhood, to our work, to our church, well, even to strangers at a ballpark, at the airport, in the grocery store. Wherever you go, you are a living letter. Wow. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, we give thanks today that you have wonderful plans for us. And most of those plans include telling us that we are a living letter, bearing the aroma of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to know that God loves you, and so do I. May the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Be a living letter this week. God bless. See you next week.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com. Or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.